down your spirit on us, Lord. Pour down your mercy on us. Pour down your forgiveness. Pour down your love on us, Lord. Father God, we just thank you so much for everything that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for your salvation that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you that when we are in times and we're dry and thirsty, Lord, that you fill us with the living water, Lord. You promise that we will thirst no more. Lord, we cling to that promise. Lord, we pain for the day that we can be in heaven with you, communing at your wedding banquet. Father, we love you so much. We love you, Lord. We proclaim you our King. We give everything to you, Lord. Only because you gave it first. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the cross. Praise your name, Jesus. You are good and holy. Praise your name. Thank you, Father, for giving us this right now, Lord, for bringing us into your throne room right now as we worship here with the heavenlies. We thank you for this glimpse of what it's going to be like to dwell with you forever. Thank you. Praise you. Praise your name, Jesus. Father, please continue to pour your spirit out as we go through your word, Lord. Please continue to touch us and teach us and mold us, Lord. Lord, bless this word that will be spoken, Lord. Set me aside. I don't want this to be any part of me, Lord. Only your Holy Spirit speaking, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Only you are good. I am but filthy rags. Without you, we love you, Jesus. We love you so much. Thank you for your precious blood. We thank you for your precious sacrifice. Everyone say with me together, amen, amen. Excuse me, let me compose myself. Thank you. Wow, that was amazing. Praise God for that. Okay. We're going to start in Romans 12 today. Something that the Lord has been weighing heavy on my heart for the past few months is unity. Unity in the body. And so that's what he wants me to talk about today. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to start in Romans 12. We're going to start in verse 1. And I think it's, I've read these verse 1 and 2 several times. I read them a lot. And this is important for our walk. And, but if you continue reading, it talks about serving God and serving together in the body. And I thought it was interesting that as part of our sacrifice to God, as part of our sacrifice to Him, we have to serve each other also. So let's just start with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This verse, actually, James talked about this verse on Friday night because the 8th grade graduation, these 1 and 2 were their verses for moving on. And James mentioned something that I had not really ever thought of before. But he said, how easy would it be to die for Christ? Because it's quick, or it could be quick. But how much more are we giving to the Lord when we live for him? When we make the resolve to stand up for God and to stand up for Jesus and be an example for him, how much more of a sacrifice is it to actually live your life for God than to just say, I would die for him? And that really spoke to me a lot, because it's asking much more than to just say, I would sacrifice for you, Lord, but how far would you go for that? How much would you give up to be a sacrifice for Christ, to live as a sacrifice for him? And so I thought that was really amazing, and it really spoke to me. Thank you, James, for bringing that up. But I want to give that to you guys too, because it's easy for us to kind of be undercover Christians. It can be very easy to go throughout your life and go through your daily routine and not stand out and not go against the flow of things. And it's important that we don't do that. And verse 2 explains why. Verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the word conformed in the Greek is souskemaizo. That might be pronounced wrong, but it's close. And that word is also where we get the word scheme and schematic. And unfortunately, Satan has a scheme and a schematic and a plan for your destruction. And he's going to try very hard to see that plan out. Thank God that we have a higher power that's behind us, that's controlling us, that's getting us through it. But he's going to try. He's going to try hard. He's going to throw everything he can at you. And if we allow ourselves to fall into his schemes, or allow ourselves to fall into that plan in any way, to be conformed to this world in any way, just by going with the flow and being quiet about your relationship with God, he can get a foothold in the door and he can affect your lives. I mean, we have to be very careful. We have to not allow ourselves to be conformed. And it says, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we start by praying and reading the word and worshiping and fellowshipping with our brethren. Because these are things that help us renew ourselves, that help us stand up for what is right, that help us go out into the world and profess your faith in Christ. Because you have people in your congregation that will support you. They're a big help to you in renewing your mind. Let's go to verse 3. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We can't put ourselves above anyone else. We can't think highly of ourselves. It says in the Bible that no man is good. The only goodness that we see in each other is what Christ is doing in our lives. And we can't think highly of ourselves. And we also have to remember that God has given each of us our faith. God is with all of us. God deals with all of us. In verse 4 it says, For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves to the body of Christ. We have to be willing to help people out. God designed this. There's a purpose for it. He wants us to be united together, dealing with things together. Let's go to verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. He's given everybody a gift. He has a special gift for each person. God takes the time to evaluate you and know you and pick out the gift that is perfect for you. It's a personal thing. It's an intimate thing. But he gives you that gift so that you can use it to uplift the body, so you can edify the people around you. And those gifts that he's given to us, they're like talents. They're like the talents. And God wants us to use them. He doesn't want us to bury them. He doesn't want us to not use those talents. He wants us to go out to other people and give them the things that we have to offer. It's all for edification. It's all to build up your brothers and sisters in Christ and to help them get through their day. And they'll do the same in return for you. They'll help you get through your day. They have something for you. They, something we talk about in the children's ministry. Just last week, we were talking about the armor of God and how we have the boots of peace and the boots of the gospel of peace. And through Jesus giving us those, he leads us and guides us on where to go, whether it's to give a word or to receive a word. He shows us where we need to go. It's something that I thought was really cool. My brother Jeff, he teaches the kids in there, and he's very insightful. And he was talking about that, how it's God who leads us to give encouragement and to receive encouragement. And that's part of our unity in the body, is being there for each other. Verse 9, please. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is how we behave. This is a measuring stick for us. This is how we can check ourselves and see if we're acting this way towards our brothers and sisters. Are we loving the way we're supposed to be? Are we loving people no matter what they're going through, or no matter how they're treating us? Are we putting forth as much as we can? Are we loving them without hypocrisy? Are we running away from things that are evil? That's important. It's hard to do sometimes. You don't really think about it. It could be simple. It could be something on TV. But you should flee from it. We have to flee from evil, and we have to cling to what is good, God. We have to cling to God, because he is the only good in this world. We have to be affectionate toward one another. We have to treat each other like brothers and sisters. We give honor to others. We give them the preference. We don't always demand our own way. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, always serving the Lord. Whether it's just in your prayer life or in reading the scriptures or just worship time, there's always a way to be serving the Lord. You don't have to be here at church to serve God. You can do it in your bed, reading your Bible. That's serving the Lord. You can do it in your car, listening to worship music, praying to him. There's always a way to be serving God. Be diligent in that, because If you're not, who knows what you're conforming to? You could be letting a little piece of the world slip into your life. Rejoice. This one's hard. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. It's hard when you're in tough times to be hopeful and patient. It's very, very hard. But God can get you through it. God can get you through it. He can get us through anything. And it says, continue steadfastly in prayer. During those times of tribulation, be seeking the Lord's counsel. Be seeking His joy. Ask Him to rain down on you. Because He's the only way we can get through our tribulations. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Whenever you see someone who's in need, you have to help. You have to help. I mean, seek the Lord on it, what your role is in helping, but you have to give help to people. And by the way, all of these things, you have to have the Holy Spirit in your life. You have to have God controlling you. You have to be begging and pleading for the Holy Spirit to lead you in your life. Don't be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. He's not a crazy uncle that you can't take out to places. You can't, you know, He's not only acceptable here at church. And then when we leave, we don't take the Holy Spirit with us. No, He dwells in us. He lives in our souls. And He leads us and He guides us in everything we do. Don't be ashamed of Him. Holy Spirit is God. We are no closer to God right now on earth with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us than we will be in heaven with God. Because He's part of the Godhead. It's just, we're with Him. He's with us. We dwell together. Sorry about the segue. Distribute to the needs of the saints, given hospitality. I actually have it's an interesting story. Last night, when I was going home after we had church last night, and we were going home, and I was starving because I hadn't eaten all day, and I needed gas, but I decided food was more important. So I went to the drive-thru and ran out of gas in the drive-thru, of course. So we pushed the car out of the way, and we're just waiting for the food and stuff. The people were really nice. They said, "Oh, we'll bring it out to you." But as I'm standing there waiting, I see some people across the street. I was at Carl's Jr. on State College, and I'm looking across State College, and I see a guy and this car pull up, and these kids jump out of the car and start hitting this dude, just start beating on him. And now I could have just turned around and not looked. I could have just said, it's not my problem, it's not my fight. But it wasn't nothing of me. I just started walking across the street. I mean, it was definitely God leading me, because I didn't want to get in a fight last night, you know? But so I started walking across the street, and the two guys just jumped in the car and drove away. And they were threatening this guy's life, so I gave him my information, and I said, if you need me to testify or whatever, you know, or just talk to the police, that's fine. I told him I'm a pastor, and I prayed with him, and I just said, you know, if I can help you in any way, I will. But God did that. He led me to that. And that's what that guy needed at that moment in time. And because I was letting the Holy Spirit lead me, I just went. And, you know, He protected me. I didn't have to fight with anyone. God took care of it. But who knows? Maybe I touched that guy's life. Maybe he'll come to know, because I know for a fact he didn't know the Lord the way he was talking. Well, anything's possible. But he was very angry and very profane. And but who knows? That might have touched him just enough to get him. I told him where our church is. Maybe he'll show up here someday. You know, maybe. We never know. We have to let the Holy Spirit lead us every day. Okay, 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Sometimes people need to cry. Sometimes people need to cry. And sometimes God doesn't call you to cheer them up. Sometimes God calls you to just cry with them and just feel their pain and share in their pain and just let them know that God is with them. And that's what's important. But I like the other part too. We get to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We get to also see the gladness and the joy in people's hearts. But we should be in enjoying those times. We should look for those opportunities to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and to weep with those who are weeping. Because it builds each other up. It's all about the edification of the body. It's all about encouraging each other to live the walk, to live in Christ. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. This is one I struggle with because I'm very opinionated. And it's important that we don't always think that our opinion is right. It doesn't, just because you have a grand idea in your head, it doesn't mean that you're right. It doesn't mean that you know what's going on all the time and you have the best way to fix a problem or tackle a situation or even the best way to minister to someone. You have to be willing to listen to other people's opinions and to listen to what other people have to say. Because working together is always more effective than working on your own and being stubborn about things. And we have to be humble. We have to be humble to do that. And we have to pray to be humble. Because our hearts, with Satan's lies, just breed pride and arrogance. So we have to pray for the Lord to keep us in a state of brokenness and humbleness. Repay no one evil for evil. This one's difficult too. And like I said, you can only do this with the Holy Spirit leading you, because when someone is doing something to you to hurt you, your automatic reaction is to get them back. Your automatic reaction is, well, if they're going to yell at me, I'm going to yell at them. And we have to really pray against that. We have to pray that we don't fall into those snares. We have to show the love of Christ in every situation. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Blessed are the peacemakers. God doesn't want strife in the world. God doesn't want us to be fighting and backbiting and all these different things that we tend to do. He wants peace. He wants harmony. He wants us to be unified together in Him. God is all about peace. And God can give us peace, and God can help us to be peaceable toward other men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is God's right only. Only God has the right to pay someone vengeance for something they did, because only He is just in that way. We don't have any right to hold things against people, to look for some way to get them back for something they did. We don't have the right to do that. It's God's alone. It's His. And we have to let go of these things, not only because it's God's right, but because it creates bondage for us. When you are wronged by someone and you hold on to that and you think about it and you dwell on it, it just creates bondage for you. It puts you in a prison of your own mind. And when I was a child, my biological father left when I was 8 years old. It was the last time I ever saw him. He came to visit me for a birthday party and he disappeared. And I was a very angry person. And I had hate for him. And it was a bondage for me. And I even ended up contacting him once when I was 18. I found his phone number and I was hoping maybe some sort of reconciliation. And he didn't say what I wanted to hear. So I got angrier and I held on to it. And I thought about how I could hurt him in some way, like he hurt me and all these things. And it was probably, it's been a while now. I was at a youth retreat, or not a retreat, a youth conference. We were at a youth conference. And one of the speakers was talking about forgiving people. And he specifically mentioned forgiving parents that have abandoned you. And I immediately wanted to leave the room because I didn't want to hear it. You know, I was like, this isn't for me. I don't care about that. But God really, really spoke to me that day. And he broke my heart. And he allowed me, through his power, allowed me to forgive. True forgiveness for him. And it made things a lot easier. I actually was able to experience true joy in my life because I wasn't holding on to something. I wasn't creating a bondage for myself. And I even pray, I pray now that I can contact him again. I've been trying to find him because I would like to tell him that I forgive him and I don't hold it against him. And I know that he's just a man and I don't hold it against him anymore. You know, I hope that this thing isn't holding up his salvation in any way. I don't want him to think that because he wronged me and maybe I don't forgive him that he doesn't deserve forgiveness. I don't want him to feel that way. So I pray that I'll be able to speak to him someday and just tell him that. But it really makes a huge difference in your life when you let those things go, when you're not holding on to that stuff, because you don't need to. God's in control of it. If someone deserves vengeance, God will see to it. And you don't even need to know about it. You just know that God's in control and he is just. He is just. So these are, so this is, like I said, it's a measuring stick. It helps us to see how our walk is, to see how we're treating the others in the body, just to know how much we need God's help. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, wow. Okay. Starting in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. There's only one God. We all serve the same God, the same Spirit. Doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you came from, who you are, what you've done, doesn't matter. We are all one in Christ. We all serve the same God and he is in every one of us, so we are all together in him. For in fact, the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has sent the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. God has a plan for everybody. God has a purpose for everybody. If we were all doing the same thing, we wouldn't get anywhere. There wouldn't be any progression. If we were all gifted with teaching, there would be no one to learn anything. And if we were all gifted with hospitality, there would be no one to receive. This is what this is saying. We can't be the same thing. We can't do the same thing. We all have a purpose. We all have a plan. And God puts us where we are for a reason. God has you exactly where you are because that's where he wants you. It doesn't matter if he's got you sitting in the pews receiving and only coming and worshiping and hearing the word, because that's what God wants from you right now. If God has you cleaning a bathroom, praise God and bless you for doing that service, because we need it. Our backbone of our church is not the pastors, it's the congregation. It's the people who come here and serve and get no recognition. It's the people who do it out of the goodness and kindness of their heart because they want to serve God. That's the backbone of the church. And God has you in those places for a reason. And praise him that he's letting you serve in whatever capacity you are serving. Or if you're not, if you are just in the congregation, praise him for that, because he's filling you up. He's preparing you for something. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for your life. And maybe you're not serving in a church. Maybe you're not doing something here in a church, but you're going to your workplace and you're preaching the gospel to people. That's service too, and we need that. That's an outreach. Our whole purpose as the body is to glorify and spread God's kingdom. I forgot what verse I was in. Okay, well, let's just start reading somewhere. How about 22? There we go. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Everybody is necessary in God's body. Doesn't matter if they seem to be a pillar of strength or they're a puddle on the floor. Everybody is necessary in God's body. We all have a purpose and a plan. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. We have to be looking out for one another. We have to take care of each other. We have to be making sure that we're protecting each other. If that means just encouraging your brother, or if that means if someone's backsliding, you might need to go and just talk to them and just tell them, hey, I noticed this. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to get too far. I don't want you to get hurt. We have to protect those people. We have to be watching out for them. The ones that we think are less honorable in our congregation, we need to give them honor. We need to bestow it upon them. We need to take care of each other. It's just, it all comes down to God wants us to be there for each other. He wants us to be knit together as a body. It's just, it's the same. It's funny because he says that he wants the body of Christ to be knit together the same way he says that he knits together a baby in the womb. That's really close. Really close together. We should be acting as one unit. Verse 25. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We suffer with each other. We help each other through the trials. We help each other be renewed and fresh. And we rejoice with each other. We need to be close. Let's flip over to John 17. Verse 20. John 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus is praying for the unity of the body, and he's specifically praying for us. He says, I pray for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That's not the disciples. That's everyone who's heard after the fact. And he prays for our unity. He prays that we would be as close to each other as Jesus is to God the Father. That's pretty tight-knit. Like, I don't know two closer guys. Honestly. Well, three closer guys, because the Holy Spirit's in there too. But that's how important this is to Jesus and to God, that he wants us to be that close to each other. He wants us to be vulnerable to each other. It's also a testimony to him. When we are one spirit, one body, when we are together, the world will know and believe that you sent me. He says that. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be just one as we are one. The glory, the power, the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power to be one as they are one. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. We're going to be with him. We're going to be seated at the right hand of God with him. For you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, this world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me be in them and I in them. I'm going to read that one more time. The love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Jesus is asking that the love that the Father had for him, that would be how we love, that he would give us that power to love, that he would give us the agape love. And it says he's given us the glory. God gave him the glory, and Jesus gave us the glory, the power to act that way, to love each other that way, to serve with each other that way. God has done it all for us. We just have to beg for it and walk in it and renew ourselves every day with God and with our brethren and be accountable to each other. So much can be done when we work together. There's so much more power in a body of Christ than you going it alone. I want to read one more scripture. We're going to read Psalm 133. Verses 1 and 2 we're going to read. So Psalm 133:1, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Our unity, the brethren dwelling together in unity, is like the anointing oil that was poured on Aaron to anoint him for his priesthood. Our unity is our anointing oil, because we are a royal priesthood. And we have a job to go out and to spread the gospel. And our unity is what anoints us to do that. It's important how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's important to be there for each other, to be together, to be helping wherever you can, to come to the potlucks, just have fellowship, to worship together, to read the word together. It's important. And I think it's pretty cool that we're going to be having communion today, and it was talking about drinking in one spirit. And we're all going to drink the cup today together, and it represents Christ. It represents the Spirit coming into us. So would the band please come forward? Let's pray, guys. Father God, we just lift this day to you, Lord. We lift this message to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart on these issues, Lord. And I pray that you would just bless the people here, Lord, that you would just pour out your Spirit on them, that we would be able to just follow these things that you ask of us, Lord, that we would be able to follow your ways, Lord. So I just pray that you bless this time now as we also take your communion and remember the sacrifice that you made for us, Lord. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, we just ask that you would just continue to bless us with your presence, Lord, and as we go on our separate ways, Lord, that you would just be with us, Lord, that you would strengthen us, Lord. You would get us home safely, Lord, that you would get us through the rest of the week safely, Lord, that you would be standing there with us, Lord, backing us up in every situation, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would show connections for these people, Lord, that they have brothers that they could call if they need help, Lord, if they need encouragement, Lord. Just show them who they can speak to, Lord, who is there for them, Lord. I just pray that you would just continue to build the unity in this church, Lord, and just build the unity among your whole church, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. In your name we pray. Everyone say it together. Amen. The prayer room will be open if anybody needs it.